All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Real Fake Baseball podcast for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. It's your host, Paul Martin, here at Paul the Martin on Twitter if you want to go follow me out there. I am here with my co-host, as always, Walter McMichael at Real Fake Walter on Twitter. Walter, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm just ready to talk Kansas City Royals preview. I know you're excited. I will be on the first two preview pods. I know everybody is going to be disappointed, but it'll get better from here, and we'll have other people on the podcast, not me.
Well, people are just disappointed based on the teams that we're having to go through right now. I mean, the Orioles and the Royals to start off is a little shaky. But I don't know, the hitting, we got some interesting things to get into with the Royals tonight. The pitching, we could pretty much just breeze right through. But I don't know, the Royals, you sent it over, you were like, they're a little interesting. They are, but
I think they have a pretty interesting lineup, personally.
Yeah, it's a good word for it. I couldn't think of a better word other than interesting, because it is interesting. It's unlike any other lineup in the league.
Yeah, they have a lot of guys that have some power, like some power and speed, and then they have like pure power guys, and then they have guys that are just like track stars.
Yeah, absolute track stars that can't hit at all. And their bench is, Chris Owings and Terrence Gore. So another two guys that can't hit but can run. And then Chesler Cuthbert, who can't run but can hit and can't field.
Cuthbert can't hit either.
Yeah, he can't hit. I mean, he can hit for some power, I guess, but he can't hit overall. So I guess that hurts his chances of hitting in general. But yeah, I mean, their projected order is sort of interesting, as long as you kick Alex Gordon out of there, who's just getting his checks at this point. Is there anyone that you want to just jump into it? I mean, we did all the intros and stuff. We might as well just go ahead and get into it if you want.
Let's get going.
We might as well just ask about Adalberto Mondesi. He's the most popular name on the team, I would say, at this point going into the 2019 fantasy baseball season. And I want to just gauge your thoughts on this whole thing. He's going really high in drafts. I think he's going higher than Witt, right? What are we thinking here? Because I think Witt is the higher floor, lower ceiling kind of play. But Mondesi is, he can go through stretches where he is just trash at baseball.
Yeah. It's going to be one of the biggest dilemmas of the entire fantasy baseball year, is kind of like what you're going to do with Mondesi right now, because I can see why the hype is kind of crazy right now, because I mean the steamer projections are,
yeah, I was just going to go, I mean, to they're 21 and 42, I want to say
something along those lines, like, yeah, it's really, really high, and it's essentially, if you believe in his projection, he should be around a second round pick in batting average leagues, because obviously the power and speed, you just don't find that anywhere. But yeah, so I'm kind of off of him, just because I really don't like paying up for that kind of profile, the low walk, high strikeout, you know, prone to go through slumps because they can't make contact, kind of like Javier Baez. He's got a pretty similar approach, because they both swing and miss a ton, they don't walk, but they do both make really, really good contact when they do connect. But I kind of don't want to pay up for that profile. I kind of like it more when it's cheap, like Baez last year. That was the perfect time to buy. When you're paying full market value for this type of profile, I'm just off of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Mondesi went through any dramatic swing changes or anything like that to really lift his, you know, balls into the air or anything. He's still hitting balls on the ground. He's still kind of doing what he always did. But this potential was always there. It doesn't mean that he's going to be a great player. He's projected for, so the steamer projections are .252 average with a .292 OBP. So that just goes to show his plate discipline skills right there. They project him for 30 walks on the season with 151 strikeouts. And then they project him for 27 doubles, 21 home runs, and 42 stolen bases. So huge power, well, huge power for the position for kind of what you expect. And especially huge power for having 42 stolen bases projected by Steamer. That's huge. A guy that neither of us have really liked in the past, also AL Central guy, Byron Buxton. He's going to be going a lot later in drafts. Are you more likely to take Byron Buxton than Mondesi where he's being taken?
Yeah, for sure. I would definitely just rather wait on Buxton. But yeah, a guy that kind of profiles similarly based on projections is Trey Turner. I mean, he has a better batting average, but a little less power. So really, if you believe the Steamer projections, you should pass on Trey Turner in the first and take Mondesi in the second. That's if you believe in the projections.
Well, so. Plus you got to take the bite on some average. I think Trey Turner can be – didn't Trey Turner came close to 21 last year. Didn't he get 21 last year? Yeah, he's a 20 home run hitter already. Yeah, so – I mean, we still have to see it from Mondesi. At least Turner's given us a season that wasn't what we expected, really, from Trey Turner, but it was still a good season that he didn't really get a lot of credit for because it wasn't what we expected.
I was just saying someone that projects pretty similarly. Is – yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I brought up Buxton.
So he projects similarly to a first-round pick.
That's why I brought up Buxton, because Buxton is always going to be projected for some sort of numbers like this, whether it all depends on playing time with him. But he is a threat to have 20 home runs. He's a threat to have, 35, 40 stolen bases, and then the average will probably be somewhere around 240, 250. So, I mean, that's always there for Buxton, and he's going to be going way later in draft. So that's a name that I'm definitely targeting this year. As we talk about the Royals, right, it makes sense to bring up the Minnesota Twins and Byron Buxton, but it's always good to make parallels. It's always good to make parallels in fantasy baseball. Let's just get that out of there. I don't know. You want to talk about Witt? You want to talk about Salvador Perez?
Let's go. Perez.
Okay.
You know, we'll start a catcher and then move around the infield. We already did Mondesi, but Perez. I think he's a locked in fantasy catcher one. He should hit around 25, maybe 30 home runs. And I think the batting average last year was just kind of bad luck. A lot of his X stats show that he got unlucky. So I think that should climb back up to the 250 to 260 range. And obviously he's not good in OBP leagues, but he plays a ton. So he gets you more counting stats than your normal fantasy catcher. So I think he's like probably top five fantasy catcher right now.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say he's pretty safe in there. And like you said, the lineup is a little bit more interesting this year, so the counting stats could be better too.
Yeah, I mean, and he's projected to hit fourth, which is...
Right, and I mean, he's kind of always... He's always going to be in the middle of the lineup either way. So, yeah, I mean, he's... You know, he's not as good as he once was, but I still think he is very solid, and I haven't really seen too many ADP numbers, but for where he's going, I would say that that's probably value, because after him, you're probably not going to get much. It's going to be a lot of platooning or, you know, catcher carousel for most of the year for your baseball, for your fantasy baseball team.
Yeah, and their backup, Cam Gallagher, he's not going to get much playing time with Perez there, but if Salvador Perez were to get hurt, he does make a ton of contact, so I think he would be a fine like second catcher in a two catcher league.
Interesting. AL only. It's always good to look up those backup catchers. You never know. So take me where you want to go next. You want to go to first base next and talk about our boy?
Sure. We can talk about Ryan O'Hearn. I want to hear your thoughts on him.
Well, I mean, he's just a hitter, man. He's gonna probably hit another 20 to 25 home runs. There's a potential for 30, I think. He has a ton of raw power, and he's just kind of always hit the ball. He's not really like going to go out there and take a whole bunch of walks, but he's going to go out there swinging, and that's kind of one of the things they told him when he went to the Royals, is when he was hitting in college. He had a ton of raw power, but he was more gap to gap. And then he gets to the Royals. They tell him to let it loose. And then he hits like 20 home runs in his first few seasons. I think he had 13 home runs in his debut when he was drafted. So he's always been a power hitter since he went to the Royals. And he's still gap to gap. He doesn't really just pull the ball. He has a ton of power to all fields. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of Ryan O'Hearn. They have him projected at a 235 average. I think that could be higher. And they have him projected at 22 home runs. And that's in 579 plate appearances. So I think that he can definitely outperform those projections. I think they're a little light there.
Yeah. I think he's a pretty good hitter. He's gonna walk a good amount, which I know it builds in a decent floor. He doesn't strike out too much for being a power hitter. He seems pretty similar to Matt Olson.
If you want to just comp on the same team, him and Soler are very similar.
Yeah, they're pretty similar guys. I was just trying to get a first baseman that I think is probably going much higher.
Oh, definitely.
Than O'Hearn. I think he's solid. The only problem is I don't want people to project on the 12 home runs he hit in the majors last year. Obviously, that's a small sample size and you don't really want to get too crazy with it, because it was more power than he showed in AAA last year and in about half the amount of plate appearances. So I would just say be a little cautious, but I think there's a hitter here. I think he's going to be a nice fantasy player.
Yeah, the 12 home runs in 44 games is a little bit high, but he's been a huge power hitter in the minors ever since coming up. Like, not huge, but, you know, he had 18 in 114 games in AAA the year before. Then he had 15 in 112 games of AA as a 22-year-old. So, and then, like I said, in his rookie debut, he had 13 home runs in his first 64 games as a pro. So the power is definitely there. It's just all about sustaining it for the full season. And I think 25-plus is definitely in the cards.
And looking at it now, NFBC ADP currently, he's going behind Ryan Healy, Ryan Zimmerman.
Oh, God. This is value.
Brandon Belt.
We're bringing
Grinstrom,
you the hits right now.
Jay Bruce, Yonder Alonso. Yeah, I would definitely take him over all of these guys. So maybe the market really isn't there yet. I think he's a fine corner infielder. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a guy that you could really wait on in your drafts this year for sure. So take me next. You want to go to Whit next? Are we good to go to Whit?
Yeah,
because I love talking about
Whit,
some Whit Merrifield.
Whit's great. Yeah, I mean, we were. If you are a listener,
from when
we originally started, Whit was one of our guys. One of your guys to pick up. I kind of poo-pooed on him, and then I got onto him, and he's just been the man ever since, and I don't see anything changing. Towards the end of last year, they just let him and Mondesi run crazy. Like in September/October, which it's like kind of a month, just over a month. Well, there's
just
a few,
not enough games. We get
few extra days added in October. He had 16 stolen bases during that time frame, which is just – I mean, that's just a massive total. You're happy if you can get a guy that's getting you 16 stolen bases on the year. I think as long as Mondesi can get on base as well, I think these guys are just going to run like crazy.
Yeah. And what was your thing? He's very good at stealing third base. That's everyone's favorite stat right now, right? Is that
everybody loves posting how many times he stole third base.
Yeah, I forget who was the first one to say like, oh, stealing third bases is a correlation to speed or something. I don't even remember.
I think that was Derek Carty that said that.
Oh yeah,
because Buxton didn't steal third base.
Always fun. His little rants.
Yeah. So I think Whit is just like a fantasy star.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm kind of surprised that you're getting him outside. I believe he's outside of the second round, and with the 45 steals, he is kind of Trey Turner that we talked about. Like, he hits 300. He only hit 12 home runs last year, but he had 45 stolen bases, 88 runs, 60 RBI. It's pretty much the same profile.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he's just a great hitter. I mean, he's got a super high floor. He's really good at stealing bases, whatever base it is, second base, third base. He doesn't get caught a lot. And he can hit for some power. 12, I think, is light, too. I think he can easily go over 15 this year. And even if it comes with a few less stolen bases, that's fine, because 45 is a huge number. If he steals 35 bases and he gets you 15 to 18 home runs while hitting 270 to 290, that's going to be an amazing player. And a value for where you get him. So I'm looking to get him. He's kind of like that Gene Segura, Elvis Andrus, you know, sort of model, where he doesn't get too much power, but he's going to get you stolen bases and he's going to get you a good average, and he's going to do it pretty much every year. You know, he came on the scene late, but it's he's here now, and Witt is someone that you have to respect. You know, that's,
yeah, he's like Justin Mason's boy, Starling Marte.
He is a little bit like Starling Marte,
always just putting together the good seasons and never really moves up.
Right, with no steroids though.
Yeah, minus the steroids.
Minus the steroids.
Oh, how about third baseman? Hunter Dozier and Chesler Cuthbert?
And yeah.
Either of those guys interest you?
A whole bunch of let's see what we got here before we move on.
Former first round pick.
Actually, Hunter Dozier is, you know, if you're in an AL only.
No, don't do this to yourself.
No, I'm just saying, if you're in like an AL only, you always got to look for these guys. You know, if he just so happens to have some sort of a year, you never know. He could go on a hot streak. I'm just saying, if Hunter Dozier is going to play this year and you're in an AL only league, just remember his name.
Cause I think the guy who is interesting, and he's in the outfielders because he's only outfield eligible next year, is Chris Owings. I know we had our problems with Chris Owings, but I think he could take over as the starting third baseman.
Well, he is a better hitter than either of those guys. So
yeah,
I can't doubt you there. Like,
he can steal bases and he has a little bit of power. I think he's a guy that you definitely want to look at late in your drafts. Chris Owings, just saying.
Yeah. I'll give you that. I just don't really want to talk about Chris Owings that much, so.
That's fair.
All right, let's see what we got in the outfield, Walter. You doing anything with Alex Gordon this year?
You know, Alex Gordon was actually not terrible last year.
Okay. Proceed.
If you just look at it, he was okay. He gave you a little bit of power, a little bit of steals. He hit 245, which isn't great, but it's like he's an okay AL only guy, and if he's gonna hit third, I think he could give you that random like Nick Markakis season from 2018.
The Royals are filled with AL only like value, just people that no one even realize are playing anymore, and they're just sitting on the Royals just accumulating stats. And Alex Gordon at the end of the year is gonna be like, "See, bitch, I got 15-15 again. What'd you think about that?"
Yeah, I think if you ask someone how many home runs plus stolen bases Alex Gordon had last year, people would be like, I don't know, 12 total?
Yeah, right.
Like, it wouldn't be a very high total. And it's not like 25 is anything amazing, but...
No, but AL only as like a fifth outfielder, that's pretty much what you're looking for.
Yep. I think he's just a guy to keep on your radar.
All right.
Alex Gordon.
Yeah, Alex
Gordon. Fantasy sleeper.
Fantasy radar man. I'm not so sure. You got to have a large radar. But Brian Goodwin, any interest there? Any interest in Brett Phillips? Any interest in Soler's interesting.
Soler's good.
Yeah, Soler's really good.
Is like legit a good hitter.
How's
like,
his value right now?
It's nothing.
Yeah, Royals, man, chock full of value right now.
It's weird to say, but they do have some value. Like, I don't think people realize how good Jorge Soler was when he played last year. Like, he's legitimately a good hitter. He hit 265 with 9 home runs and only 250 plate appearances, and he had 3 stolen bases too. He had a 123 WRC plus. He's a good hitter. I think he could be a guy where he hits like 270 with 30 home runs this year.
Yeah, he also had a 90-point differential in OBP and average, so he takes a walk. I mean, it's not like he's out here just hacking. He's a good hitter. I mean, if he's going to play all – the Royals season is like garbage time. Soler is just going to go out there. If he's healthy, he's going to play. And like we're talking about with these speed guys too, another outfielder that they have is Billy Hamilton. If he's out there, he's going to go run. They're already talking about weird ways that they're going to get him to steal bases. So, I mean, Billy Hamilton might actually just luck into a higher average because he's not going to hit. He's just going to freaking run. The Royals season is garbage time. And Soler's going to go out there in garbage time, and he's going to get all of the reps that he needs, and he could potentially hit 25 or more home runs. I think 22 is light for him, too. They have him projected for 22 home runs, same as my boy Ryan Hearn, and I think it's light on both of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Soler is good, and people have kind of missed it. He's going as the 90th outfielder currently.
Yep.
In the NFBC, you know, behind guys like Matt Kemp, Kristen Stewart, who we haven't even seen at the majors yet, Nick Markakis, Willie Calhoun, who couldn't even hit in AAA last year, Brett Gardner. I mean, we know he's done, right?
Yeah, he's not going to even play next year. Come on, guys.
Kike Hernandez is going ahead of him.
Don't let us take Jorge Soler in your draft. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be good this year, and sometimes it does take these prospects a long time to finally show it. And Jorge Soler has the pedigree. People kind of forget people like him. I think he's a guy to invest in and try and get in every league. Legitimately, try and get him in every league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's just a massive human being. I love watching him hit. I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to watch the Royals next year. It's weird to say. I want to watch him hit.
Wait until we get to their pitching.
Well, that's why I ended that sentence by saying I can't wait to watch him hit, because I think we're pretty much into the pitching, right?
You want to go into Billy Hamilton? Yeah. What are you doing with Billy Hamilton this year? I kind of told myself I'm out on Billy Hamilton, and then I keep seeing him drop and drop and drop, and
everyone's going to be out on him.
It's not like his upside has changed at all, has it?
No, because he's going to play. He's going to play center field. Who's playing center field for them?
I think we all knew he couldn't hit. We always knew he couldn't hit.
It's not like he's going to go to the Royals and become a worse hitter. He was on the Cincinnati Reds. He was on the Royals of the NL already.
Yeah, so I think I'm in on Billy Hamilton this year. I'm in on him. And like you said, the Royals run like crazy. He could just run every time he gets on base.
Yeah, we're in. We're in, Walter. Come on, say it with me. We're in.
We're in. All right, let's go. We're in on Billy.
We're in on Billy Hamilton, everyone.
Buy him. Get him.
Buy him.
We're in on all the Royals.
Get him. We're in on all the let's say who we're not in on as far
Danny
as the
Duffy.
Hitters go.
No.
Well, as far as hitters go, we're not in on Hunter Dozier or Chester Cuthbert.
Okay, that's fair.
That's fair. We're not in. Are you in on Brian Goodwin?
No, not really. I mean, no. he has an interesting fantasy profile because he could hit like 20 home runs and steal like 10 bases, but I don't know. I think he's kind of just a platoon guy.
All right. So we're not in on Brian Goodwin. Alex Gordon is pretty much AL-only boring guy. So we're not hyped on everyone. We're just saying Billy Hamilton, if he keeps falling, we're going to take him. We're going to get those steals. We're not going to let those pass. Jorge Soler, Ryan O'Hearn, we love them. Whit Merrifield, love him. Mondesi, we don't really like either, just at the value.
Yeah, I think he's just going a little too high. I've kind of come around on him as a player, but I think it's still too high. There's a lot of risk associated, but he could provide first round value. I can see it happening.
Yeah, and Sal Perez we like.
I think everybody likes Sal Perez.
Yeah, everyone loves Sal Perez.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Okay, now we can move on to pitching.
And talk about who we're not on.
Oh my God, everyone. Talk about who you're on first, because that's probably a shorter list.
I think Jake Junis is kind of interesting because he doesn't really walk anybody and he has a pretty nasty slider that he throws 40% of the time. But other than that, he doesn't really have a good second pitch at all. So I think that's kind of that's going to kind of limit him to maybe like a high threes or low four ERA guy. But the whip should be pretty good. And I just think he's a guy that you want if you're trying to protect your whip, really, because he's not going to, like, unfortunately, well, maybe the Royals will be decent and he can get a few wins.
Oh, yeah. But I always love to count on that. Especially with the Royals. My God.
Well, we talked about the Orioles, and the Orioles team is just, there's no
tragic
chance. There's no chance they're going to be any good at all. The Royals, I think, could put up some runs sometimes, and Junis could run into, like, 12 to 14 wins. But other than that, yeah, I mean, Danny Duffy, he just hasn't been the same since his 2016 breakout. He just hasn't been able to find the velocity, and I think he's just like a low to mid fours ERA guy. And it's kind of painful to see because Duffy was amazing that year.
Yeah, it's sad. And it's,
like you said about before the podcast, you forgot Ian Kennedy was even in the majors anymore.
Yeah, and I said I don't think I would be the only one. People know James Shields still pitches, and people don't know that Ian Kennedy pitches. I'll guarantee that.
Yeah, he's just a guy that you want your hitters going against.
Yeah, another thing we said before the podcast is that he's a great pitcher for
targeting.
What's
your take on Brad Keller? He had a really weird debut as a Rule 5 pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's still only 23 years old, so he has that going for him. I mean, the ERA was good. The ground balls were good. Home runs are unsustainable. There's a lot to like and there's a lot to dislike, but I feel like he is just going to go out there, pitch next year, and he's kind of going to be okay.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense?
I'm not with that.
You don't think he's going to be good? I mean, not good. He's not going to be good.
I think he's going to get beat up.
You think that
personally?
He doesn't really look sustainable, but I do like the fact that he's so young, and I feel like there's still a decent amount there. I mean, he's pretty much just two pitches though.
Yeah, you like a guy that doesn't get any whiffs? That's this guy literally gets no whiffs. He has a 90% zone contact. Like, he throws it in the zone and it gets, like, contact gets made. He doesn't really
He had 9% swinging strike rate last year. It's not no whiffs.
Yeah, that's
he gives
that's
up a lot of
no
zone
whiffs.
Contact, but if he can dance in and out of the zone, it's not as bad.
9%
he gets a 30% O swing. That's still pretty good.
Not particularly, but I think people are gonna look at the ERA and think that he could really be something, and I don't really think there's much there personally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's much there either, but I'm just saying, for a young pitcher, he's going to go out there, he's going to get reps at the major league level, especially in an AL-only. Brad Keller is someone that I might look at. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he's going to be a great pitcher, but
so if we're looking at the
if we're looking at the Royals pitching staff, and we're saying, who do you want on this Royals pitching staff, I would probably say, Jake Junis, maybe Brad Keller, and that's about it.
I thought you would say Eric Skoglund.
Eric Skoglund. You tell me why you love Eric Skoglund, then.
No, I don't.
You just told me you loved him before the podcast.
Eric Skoglund is pretty much Brad Keller with a bad ERA.
He's bad Keller.
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh, stop me. Someone stop me. Jesus.
I mean, they just have the same profile. I know they're obviously look nothing alike. Skoglund is like this massive lefty, but doesn't strike anyone out. And they pretty much have similar peripheral stats, Skoglund and Brad Keller. But one of them – well, I guess Keller does get a little bit more whiffs, which is – if that tells you anything about how bad Skoglund is. Yeah, he's just like a placeholder for the Royals.
Yeah, and Skoglund's older, and he doesn't get as many ground balls either. Keller at least gets two ground balls for every fly ball, so he does have that as a skill too.
The only thing that's worse than the rotation is the bullpen. I honestly think that this bullpen is the worst group of like any positions in baseball.
This is how you tank, though, isn't it? Because the bullpen is the easiest thing to build. And it's the easiest way to lose games as well. You just lose right at the end of the game. There's no way that they're making it out of a game with this bullpen. Are you serious? No one's saving a lead in this bullpen. No one's holding a lead. like
I was going through it and I was like trying to figure out, hey, well, I know Willie Peralta is not going to be the closer long term.
Yeah, I liked your little blurb here because I got a little preview of your blurbs, and that was a good – you're very kind to Willie Peralta.
Yeah. I mean, I think he could maybe have like what Shane Green did last year where it's just like terrible ratios, but he gets you the saves that you want. But – you know, a 15% walk rate is just not going to cut it as a closer. I think if he pitches well, he's going to be traded. If he pitches poorly, I don't really see an option that's going to take over for him. So it seems like if you really need the saves, you kind of want him to pitch poorly so he's not traded.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really anything to talk about here.
Now, Kevin McCarthy is just like a sinker baller, and Tim Hill is like the left-handed version of Kevin McCarthy, kind of. He's a little bit more strikeouts, but like I don't see anything. Jorge Lopez, you know, had the near no-hitter last year, but in 53 innings, he still had a 5 ERA. So that should kind of tell you how the rest of the innings went for the year. Brian Flynn, like that guy's just like a lefty middle reliever. There's not really anything there. They did take two Rule 5 picks. They took Sam McWilliams, who was really bad as a starter in AA last year, but he tops out at 97 and he has a good slider, so maybe he could become like a power righty. That could be interesting. Maybe a guy in as the 50th round pick in your draft and hold. And then Chris Ellis, he could be a guy that they start, actually. He could take over for one of the guys that is not very good in their rotation.
All right, so what do you think about Josh Staumount? He could be a guy that falls into the bullpen at some point this year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like people have liked Josh Staumont, but it's like he just has no – like he doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah, but that's not too bad if you're a reliever, I guess, right?
it is because he's just like – he's like Willie Peralta with walk rates.
What about –
I don't think he's ever had anything below like 40. I'm looking at it now. He's never had anything below a 15% walk rate.
No, yeah, he's like Kyle Barraclough is like he's envious of Kyle Barraclough's control.
Yeah, it's bad. I just don't see anything. I think the guy who could potentially take over would be Sam McWilliams.
That's, I like this name.
So just keep his name on your list of like in your dynasty leagues. Just put him on your watch list.
Do they still have Jesse Hahn? I'm just trying to. I'm like literally sitting here Googling like what's good with Jesse Hahn because he's still there, right?
I have no clue.
He's projected for 10 innings next year on Steamer. Wait, I can't tell if he was hurt at the beginning of last year, right?
He inked a 1-year contract with the Royals.
Yeah.
So I guess he could be a starter there. He hasn't pitched in what, like 2 years?
Yeah, he hasn't pitched in a while. Well, he'll probably be in the bullpen.
Would he?
I would. All right, I guess.
I think we've spent too much time on Jesse Hahn.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, like they only. I'm just saying we're going over all of their great bullpen. Like someone's going to get saves out of this group. It might be Jesse Hahn one day.
I'm going with Sam McWilliams. That's who I'm going.
You're going with.
With
Sam McWilliams. All right. I'm going to go with Josh Staumont. I think he's going to find something this year. He's going to get some saves for them this year.
All right.
You like that?
Nothing wrong with being wrong.
All right. And you said 30 to 40 minutes on this podcast, so I feel like 35 is a great spot. Do you have anything else you want to say about the Royals this year?
No, just invest in the cheap Royals bats.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've settled on.
Yeah. And I know we didn't get to talk about it in this podcast, but they do have a ton of exciting prospects to watch this year too. And Nicky Lopez is not really one of them. Even though you would love him to be, Walter.
I think he could. Yeah, I don't know. Nicky Lopez.
Nicky Prado.
He was just a guy that I was looking at in that 30, in the Friends with Fantasy Benefits 30 team Dynasty League.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey.
Kind of a low bar to clear there.
Yeah, very low. But the, any Kansas City Royal fans out there, you got a little bit of excitement to look forward to this year. Just don't watch anybody throw balls to the catcher. Other than that, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's good. It's not like being an Orioles fan, trust me.
It's not. Yeah, it's a little bit better. That's another low bar.
A lot of bit better.
Yeah, a lot of bit better. All right. Well, with that, are we going to do a normal podcast next time? I'm not really sure what we're going to do. We're going to let Walter talk about that. We still have some more team previews to get through for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. We got like prospects previews going on. We got draft guides going soon. So yeah, just follow along, subscribe to the podcast, come follow me and Walter on Twitter at Paul the Martin is where you can find me, the host, and then my co-host Walter McMichael is at Real Fake Walter. That's where you can find all of our stuff. So while Walter's baby cries, he needs to go and attend to that, I think.
Good timing.
I'm gonna get out of here. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.